Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for February 2nd, 2010. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. Today I'm speaking with Tomoshige Kino about a newly described mechanism for regulating the activity of steroid receptors. Steroid receptors are nuclear receptors that specifically respond to steroid hormones such as estrogen or testosterone. Members of this receptor family act as both the receptor for a steroid hormone and as the transcription factor that regulates gene expression in response to that hormone. Like other nuclear receptors, steroid receptors are found in the cytoplasm of cells, and once they bind to their ligand, in this case a steroid hormone, they translocate to the nucleus, where they bind DNA sequences in the promoters of genes to regulate gene expression. In a research article published in today's issue of Science Signaling, Dr. Kino's group describes a previously unidentified mechanism for regulating the activity of these receptors. Dr. Kino spoke to me from his office at the NIH in Bethesda. Welcome, Dr. Kino.
Hi, thank you so much.
First, could you give us a general description of how the steroid receptors work?
Yes, steroid receptors inside the cells mediate, most of the nuclear receptors mediate the signal of lipophilic molecules, not like the peptide or something.
Lipophilic molecules are molecules that are able to enter the cell just by diffusing across the plasma membrane?
Yes. The molecule or intermediate steroids, such as the lipid molecules, cholesterol derivatives, or fatty acids, can penetrate the cell membrane easily and enter to the cytoplasmic area. And then in that area, the nuclear receptor binds to signaling molecule and then change the transcriptional rate. So nuclear receptor, including the steroid receptor, is such molecules.
How are the steroid receptors' activities regulated? Are they regulated at the level of nuclear entry, or are they regulated at the level of the DNA binding? In other words, once they've bound their ligand, are they automatically able to bind DNA, or does ligand binding just allow them to come into the nucleus?
There are so many regulatory pathways on the nuclear receptors. The major one is the binding to the ligand. And once ligand binds to the nuclear receptors or steroid receptors, that these receptors show the conformational change, and then most of the steroid receptors dissociate the heat shock proteins. And then that change facilitates the receptor entering into the nucleus, and then it can allow the receptor to bind to the DNA. But there are so many pathways that regulate this process. For example, phosphorylation, which also occurs after binding to the ligand, or ligand independently, such phosphorylation also changes the nuclear receptor activities. For example, the glucocorticoid receptor is phosphorylated by several kinases, like cell cycle regulating kinase or MAP kinase families, and then that phosphorylation also changes the transcriptional activity of the nuclear receptor.
I'd always been under the impression that dimerization is obligatory for steroid receptors. Is that true?
Yes. In terms of the glucocorticoid receptor, the majority of the form is homodimers, but some forms a heterodimerization with the splicing variant called glucocorticoid receptor beta, and also the glucocorticoid receptor forms heterodimers with the mineral corticoid receptor and changing the transcriptional activity. But recently, some people published that the glucocorticoid receptor modulates as a monomer on some promoter activities. And also, for changing the transcriptional activity of other transcription factors, such as nuclear factor of kappa B, AP1, and STATs, these probably glucocorticoid regulate the transcriptional activity of these transcription factors as a monomer by binding to these transcription factors and then changing the attraction of the cofactor molecules, and also can change the RNA polymerase activities by modulating the phosphorylation of the RNA polymerase too.
You mentioned that nuclear receptor activity is regulated by ligand binding, and it's regulated by whether or not it's allowed to and when it's allowed to translocate into the nucleus, and it's also regulated by the proteins it interacts with in the nucleus, like cofactors and other nuclear receptors.
Yes.
In this study, your group has discovered another mechanism for regulating the activity of a steroid receptor.
Yes.
Could you tell us what receptor you studied and in what biological context?
Yes, we studied mainly about the glucocorticoid receptor, but also same steroid receptor family receptors, such as the closest one is mineral corticoid receptor, and also progesterone receptor and androgen receptors. So these receptors all bind to the similar DNA binding element called, in the case of glucocorticoid receptor, glucocorticoid responsive element. These receptors share the similar sequence of responsive element. And then we tested the GAS5, which we found in the manuscript, regulate these steroid receptor activities.
You said that you looked at how GAS5 regulates the activity of these nuclear receptors. What is GAS5?
GAS5 is a non-coding RNA expressed from exonic sequence of the GAS5 gene. The GAS5 means growth arrest specific 5. The GAS5 RNA is accumulated inside the cells in response to a growth arrest or serum withdrawal. And then we didn't know how such accumulation of the GAS5 influenced the biological action of the cells.
And so that's what you describe in this paper then. How does GAS5 affect the activity of these nuclear receptors?
So we tested the biological action mostly on the transcriptional effect of the glucocorticoid receptor, but also we extended our examination to more biologic way. We looked at modulation of the apoptotic change by the glucocorticoid hormones. And then GAS5 interfere with the glucocorticoid-induced anti-apoptotic effect in some cell lines.
GAS5, this non-coding RNA, then interferes with the ability of these nuclear receptors to induce cell death.
Yes.
And, you know, when we think about non-coding RNAs and how they act in the cell, we generally think about RNA interference or microRNAs, where
yes,
these non-coding RNAs actually interfere with the expression of a protein,
right,
by causing the RNA to degrade or by preventing the mRNA from being translated. Is that what the GAS5 non-coding RNA is doing here?
No, GAS5 is totally different as the microRNA. MicroRNA is a relatively small RNA, up to 100 bases, but GAS5 is long RNA. It spans around 600 bases, so they're much longer RNA.
Then if GAS5 isn't affecting these nuclear receptors at the level of their expression, how is it affecting their activity?
We found that the 3' part of GAS5 contains sequence similar to DNA glucocorticoid responsive element, and through that element, GAS5 binds to the DNA binding domain of the glucocorticoid receptor to inhibit the binding of the glucocorticoid receptor to DNA sequence. So that is a mechanism of how GAS5 regulates the glucocorticoid receptor action.
So this GAS5 molecule then is binding to the nuclear receptor in,
yes,
exactly the same place that DNA would bind. So it's acting as a competitor for DNA.
Yes,
then.
Yes.
When this RNA is around then, will the glucocorticoid receptor preferentially bind that RNA over DNA?
Yes. We did the in vitro binding assay, and we checked that the RNA, GAS5 RNA, is more strongly interact with the glucocorticoid receptor DNA binding domain than the DNA GRE.
So in vitro, this non-coding RNA competes effectively for binding of the nuclear hormone receptor.
Yes. We also tested in vivo, although in the cellular level, using the chromatin immunoprecipitation assay to look at how GAS5 influenced the binding of the glucocorticoid receptor to the endogenous GREs. So, and then we found that GAS5 also interfere the binding of the glucocorticoid receptor to DNA GREs at the cellular level.
The activity of GAS5 as a competitor for the DNA is biologically relevant.
Yes.
It plays a role in the cell.
Yes.
Has this method of regulating a DNA binding protein by providing an inactive substrate been described before?
In terms of the transcription factor responsive element, there is no report previously similar to GAS5. But also, previously, there is one bacterial RNA called S6 RNA, which mimics a proximal part of the promoter and then binds to the RNA polymerase of the bacteria to inhibit its activity. It's already, such mechanism has been already reported.
This sort of mechanism hasn't been described in eukaryotes.
Not in the mammalian cells.
Because RNA and DNA are structurally similar, I mean, it makes sense that it should be possible for an RNA molecule to effectively compete,
yes,
with a DNA molecule for the attentions of the transcription factor.
Yes.
Do you think that this will end up being a more widely used mechanism that than we appreciate now? And do you think there are other instances of this type of regulation just waiting to be described?
No, I think so. I think for the other attraction factors, this mechanism could be happen. Actually, over 10 years ago, several people found that the RNA purified from some certain cell line can inhibit the binding of the nuclear receptor, including the glucocorticoid receptor and estrogen receptor, to bind to the DNA sequence. It's already reported over 10 years ago. And we didn't know that which molecule can do it. Somebody already reported that transfer RNA did this, but we found the new form called GAS5 also have that this type of activity.
Did you try making mutations in the sequence of GAS5 and see how effectively it could still compete with DNA?
Yes, we introduced the mutation into the particular part of the GAS5, which has the DNA responsive element similar sequence. And we introduced a mutation, and that mutation destroyed the GAS5 effect to inhibit the glucocorticoid receptor transcriptional activity and also binding to the glucocorticoid receptor DNA binding domain.
Binding of the nuclear receptor to the hormone response element is a sequence-specific event. And so
right.
The nuclear receptor binding to this competitive inhibitor is also a sequence-dependent binding event.
Yes, yes.
Why do you think that this sort of mechanism for regulating transcription factor activity has maybe escaped detection for so long?
Because the many people hasn't been worked on the RNA, and there's no nice method to pick up such RNA. As an interactor to the protein, so that is one of the reasons. We found such molecule in the H2 habit screening, but the system is not for picking up the RNA, but we eventually find probably GAS5 interact with some protein, and then that protein also support the signal production and also interaction to the glucocorticoids of the DNA binding domain. So that's why we picked up the GAS5.
MicroRNAs are very hot these days. So
right.
I guess people are just maybe ignoring the larger non-conventional.
Right. Actually, the larger RNA is very difficult to work with. First of all, the conformation, three-dimensional conformation of the RNA is very important for supporting the activities.
You can't just make it in vitro and assume it's going to work.
Yes. So microRNA is easier because it does not bind to the protein and that interact with the mRNA in a sequencing-specific fashion. But the long RNA, that needed to bind with the protein, and then the conformation is very important for supporting that activity. That is why the working with long RNA is much difficult than to work with a short RNA like microRNA.
Well, thank you, Dr. Kino, for speaking with me.
Okay, thank you.
That was Tomoshige Kino, corresponding author on a research article published in the February 2nd issue of Science Signaling. That article is titled, Non-coding RNA GAS5 is a growth arrest and starvation-associated repressor of the glucocorticoid receptor. That wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.